Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Thank you very much for coming to join us, especially at god-awful hour of 8:30 in the morning. We're here to talk to you about a product that we're developing internally called KSP, Keyword Services Platform. Our Keyword Services Platform is something that we've been working on together. I'm the product manager for AdCenter. This is Dylan Huang, who's working out of Ad Labs, and this is Xiaowei Tang, who's also out of Ad Labs. We're going to be going through an introduction of our approach to keyword technologies and where this product came from, our philosophies behind it. We'll then be going through the keyword services platform itself, the glossary, the providers, the web services, APIs. Next, we'll be doing a demo with Dylan. Think you're doing all the demos? Joey's doing some? Great. Dylan's doing all the demos. And then we'll have a Q&A afterward. Our approach to keyword services springs from a couple of philosophies that we're approaching as a team. One of them is the idea that we should be working with our customers to achieve their greatest potential. That's obviously our mission statement. That's an easy one for us to start working with. The second one is to help our customers extract more value from their own data. For those who are familiar with the O'Reilly Meme Map 2.0, it's a couple years old now. It's still very useful, I think. And the core tenet of that is make use of your data. So we've taken that a step further, and we stepped back and we said, all right, we're looking at our customers' basic data that they use with online advertising, and how do we help them combine that with the tools we have, with the data we have, to extract more value from that? We started with keywords because keywords are the basic building block of online advertising. Before you get to user data, before you even get to the campaign data you're working with, the basic building block for all online advertising is keywords. It's where this first took off within the advertising community. And every customer we're working with, regardless of how small, how big, has to start out first with that keyword list. Developing the keyword list is very simple when you're small. It gets increasingly difficult as you become larger and larger and larger. This is an example of something that several of our advertisers are selling through our system, through other systems as well. It's a book called The Psychopathology of Everyday Life, Freud. The two obvious keyword choices would be Freud and then the psychopathology of everyday life. But if you look over to the right, there's a host of other keywords, and once you're involved in selling online and you start to develop a sense of, okay, if someone's looking at this keyword, they might be interested in this other product that I'm selling. Keywords that are not as obvious as Freud or the psychopathology of everyday life start to come to the fore. A couple of the ones we have up there are the Aeneid, Amsterdam, autoeroticism, bedwetting, Cervantes. So you see that the keywords become less and less obvious as you move away from the core subject. It doesn't mean, however, that these keywords become less and less valuable. The interesting thing is, as you move away from the core obvious keywords, once you achieve a certain distance, those ancillary keywords are actually more valuable to the advertiser. Correspondingly, they're more valuable to the publisher as well. If you understand what those keywords are as you get deeper into the tail, you can extract more value from them on both ends. This is an example of why these keywords become more valuable. And you'll notice that as keyword chains get to be longer, which means they're more rare, they're less obvious, they also become increasingly valuable from a click-through rate perspective. If you've got one word, you've got somewhere around a 1% click-through rate on average against that keyword. By the time you get to five words, you've got a substantially higher click-through rate on the ads associated with those keyword sets. And it gets to be at about 7%, which is fairly high. In addition to that, advertisers and publishers, because this is where their money comes from, look at conversions in the tail. And what you'll notice, compared to the prior slide, is that while click-through rate increases as you go down into the tail completely, conversions actually peak at about four words, which means customers being the users of search, for example, will click through perhaps more at five words, but they're more likely to convert into a purchase somewhere around four words. There's a lot of different reasons for this, but this is consistent across our advertisers. Now, for a very large advertiser, or someone who's been handling keywords for a very long period of time, they have a lengthy keyword list. They can have millions of keywords in play. For a smaller advertiser, or for someone who's just starting out, it can be very difficult to build this. Most people are building it manually. And that bears out in this slide. This slide is one of the ones that I'm not supposed to show. It's why you're not going to get a copy of this deck. It's drawn off of data that we have internally about our own system. And you'll notice that the yellow line is advertiser distribution. So under the A column, you'll see that there's a large body of advertisers bidding against the small blue column, a very small number of keywords. As you get farther out, you'll see that there's a very, very small number of advertisers who are bidding against the bulk of our keywords. That shows that there's a small number of advertisers who have either figured out their keyword list or have figured out to manage very large, almost unwieldy lists of keywords. And one of the biggest problems with dealing with these keywords isn't managing them once you have them, it's developing those keywords to begin with. There's a couple of different ways that customers can develop them. Some of the very biggest customers develop their keywords almost completely algorithmically. They'll run programs against dictionaries, they'll keep track of every single search query that comes into their own website, turn that into a keyword purchase. They'll have people working manually to help increase the overall keyword pool. But for smaller advertisers or for new advertisers who don't yet have that data to draw from, developing these keyword lists can be very, very expensive. It's also the most boring job in the world. The burnout rate for people who are manually generating these keyword lists is very, very high. And it's not like you can just hire somebody to come in off the street and start building keyword lists. You need people who are fairly intelligent, fairly well educated, and able to think a little bit differently than the norm to come up with keywords that otherwise are not going to be captured. What we've been able to do with KSP is take advantage of the fact that within Microsoft, within Ad Center, we have a tremendous amount of data. And we've been able to figure out how to mine the data that we have on our customers, mine the data that we have available through our search engines, and help our customers combine that with the data they have to extract more value from it. If you're an advanced user, so if you're a user that has hundreds of thousands or hundreds of millions of keywords, you can still use KSP programmatically to figure out a way to generate additional keywords against those keywords that you already have. If you're a basic user, if you're a new user, or if you're a very, very small user, and you know, you're able to generate maybe 1,000 keywords manually, combining that with KSP can allow you to automatically generate valuable keywords deep in the tail programmatically at very, very low cost. Now I'm going to hand it over to Xiaowei, who's going to walk into the technology itself.
Hello, could you turn me on?
I think you're gone.
Hello?
You're ready.
Am I on?
Yeah.
Good. So my name is Zhaohui Chen, and I'm the Group Program Manager for Ad Center Labs. So before we dive deeper to the keyword service platform, I want to know how many among you have worked in paid search, you know, develop applications for paid search, content ads, or as internet advertising project. Okay, we have quite a few. Good. So I suppose you use keywords, right? Very good. So you are the people who should be in this session. Keywords technology is the single most important aspect of web search, text analytics, internet advertising. It's really the core of search, mining, and all, you know, today's Web 2.0 technologies. And keywords has very rich semantics. You can think about keywords as a network with highly related semantics. For example, keywords expansion. Given a keyword, you want to know what are the related keywords. And as everyone listed, you know, that's probably the most boring job, you know. Every day, today, most of campaign managers looking for keywords relationship. Most time they spend is expand keywords. And KSP will provide a solution for that. Keywords classification. If we have a keyword, let's say Zoom, you want to know this is consumer electronics, right? And it can be used not only for paid search, but also for, in general, you know, internet applications. Imagine you have a website, and you have a search button, your retail site. People search for Zoom. So you want to know which category this input term belongs to, so you can put more appropriate hosting page, right, or related informations. So keywords classification is a very interesting technology, very useful, and also very challenging because we have thousands of categories. Taxonomy can be very complicated, and you have hierarchies inside as well. Keywords extraction. Given a web page, before you start any kind of analytics, you want to know what are the important terms? When we're talking about text mining today, very few, actually almost none of the applications really understand the language, the grammars. Most of the applications just do keywords extract and then analyze those keywords. Keywords extraction is probably the building block of many other keywords technologies. Sparing, people may input wrong terms, you know, misspells. You may correct it. You may have advertisers bid intentionally those misspelled keywords, and then you have values. Translations. You know, AdCenter today launched in different market, France, UK, German, and all different languages. Advertisers may want to have one, you know, list and then automatically translate to a campaign in France, for example. Monetization. Each keyword has some value. You know, some companies like Google make most of their revenue by selling keywords. Right? It's no longer a virtual product. It's really, you know, you have concrete value. And some keywords with high click-through rate and high search volume may have higher dollar values compared to other keywords. And the keyword service platform will provide you services to query the price of different keywords. Synonym, anonyms, you know, when people put a term, let's say data warehouse, search for data warehouse, you know, this is probably data mining or maybe this is online reporting, right? Hierarchies. Keywords has hierarchy relationship. You know, a typical example is country, state, cities. Right. Nevada is a state. Las Vegas is a member of cities and membership. Right. So it's very complicated relationship. And AdCenter Labs did lots of researches on this area. So let me give first a quick introduction of Microsoft AdCenter Labs. So we are a part of AdCenter, so we are not a research, pure research organizations. We found the team, the lab, was founded in January 2006, so it's over a year ago. There are over 120 researchers and developers inside Microsoft. Research and development work, our focus is research and development of new technologies for online advertising. And keywords research is definitely our focus. Live demo, you can see it from adlab.microsoft.com. We have thousands of people visiting our website every day doing various keywords research. So let's have before the demo, I'll show you what technologies we have today in our portfolio. In our lab during the past 16 months, these are the technologies we're working on. We have algorithm to extract terms from our web page. We understand not only the term itself, but also the position, right? Where is the main title line? Where are the main text? Where is just the ads? So analyze what are the important areas of your web page before extract terms. We have quite a few different technologies to suggest keywords, campaign association, search association. We have technologies for keywords classification. And we also have technologies for website classification. Given a URL, any web page will tell you which category it belongs to from a predefined taxonomy. Keywords and content relevance. Given a keywords and a web page, a content, will tell you whether this is relevant or not. So this helps advertisers to, before bidding, understand whether these are the appropriate keywords for them to bid. Keyword spelling, another one, commercial intention, actually is quite interesting. You know?
That's cool.
Some people search for a term, let's say data mining. You know? Most likely they're doing some technology reference, right? Looking for papers, some algorithms, descriptions. So this query has less commercial intention. Nobody wants to buy things. While people search for digital camera or iPod, you have strong commercial intention. And this is very important for search and for different websites for various purposes. So we did a lot of research on this, and we have some solutions to tell you any keywords, what degree of commercial intention it has. keywords, atom, what are the unique body of any queries. Term demographic distribution. When people search for, let's say, minivan, you know, this term minivan, maybe most of them are, you know, people from 25 to 35, female classified group. Versus when people search for a query, car, a sport car, you know, most people are male demographic, right? So keywords, lots of keywords, do you have demographic information? And you can do a lot of data mining and present this, you know, we're going to present this little KSP to the various web developers. We have technologies, acronym, traffic forecast. Traffic forecast is also important for mainly for the advertisers. Before they bid, they want to know what's the traffic queries in the next few months, how many clicks I can expect from that. So there are a lot of time series forecasting technologies in this algorithm. We have search funnels, tells you what are the sequence of search, what are conversion funnels, keywords, clustering, and taxonomy. And we have actually probably a dozen more different technologies. And let's see a demo today available already at adlab.microsoft.com. So Dylan.
Thank you, Zhaohui. So this is our main page of adlab.microsoft.com. So all the demos are right now are live for you guys to try. I highly recommend you guys go there because the amount of the research results is fabulous. It's, so if you can see, we have four categories. The first category is paid search. It's all research related to paid search. So here you can see all kinds of things, group detection, mutation detection, search funnels, and all those things are alive for you guys. Due to time reason, I want to try some couple of demos we have. The first one is called online commercial intention. So this one basically is detect a commercial intention for a web page or for a query. First, let's do a query. So digital camera.
Let me tell you where the... Okay.
So it will immediately tell you it's highly commercial. So it's like 98%. So basically people who search these keywords has very, very strong commercial intention, and probably you should show ads or show some most valuable ads to this page. So let's try something else, like boring things I do every day. Data mining. So the possibility of commercial query is only 46%. So if I search data mining, you shouldn't show some ads for me because I'm interested in technology. So let's try something else. The new Windows presentation foundation.
I like that.
See, all the guys search this, it's even lower. So people search for Windows Foundation, presentation foundation probably are interested in technology. Then the thing I love most, Zoom. I want to get a free one, but they won't give us. So here it's like 91%. So it's purely, purely commercial intention, right? So let's try something else. Let's go to intelligence. Let's try something like detect query geographic location. So this one basically is try to, when you search a query, for example, you search like Starbucks near Space Needle. Space Needle is in Seattle, right? So how do we know this one is in Seattle? And also like when you search for, this one is still loading. I didn't click that. So when you, for example, when you come in here, you search for Venetian Hotel, do we know it's actually in Las Vegas? So this one is super powerful for people to do geographic targeting. So you want to know people actually interested in where it is, right? For example, you search for Starbucks in near Space Needle, we should show all the Starbucks in Seattle since it's it's in that geolocation. So here you search for Venetian Hotel, we actually tell you it's in Nevada. So So that's pretty good, right? So let's try something difficult. For example, Eiffel Tower. You guys all went there last night, right? So, hey, it says this query is ambiguous because we know, hey, here in Las Vegas we have Eiffel Tower. But it actually give you something called, oh, it's in Paris. We think the main geographic location should be in Paris.
So the bigger one is in Paris and the half-size one is in the Strip.
Okay, let's try something meaner. Okay, let's try Texas Hold'em. Can we detect that this is not actually a location, right? So if you click go, we said, hey, no location detected, because this is actually a noun. This is no location detected. We're actually smart enough to find those words actually is not really main as a location. So with that, I will pass back to Jiawei to continue our demo.
Okay, thank you, Dylan.
Yes.
So we have lots of technology of keywords-related focused algorithms, and we believe it's really useful for bring this to the public. Let all developers build next generation of web intelligent applications targeted more relevant to your potential web users. And however, with all these different technologies, demos on the website, it's not that useful, right? So we have a vision called Keyword Service Platform. And it is a platform, a server platform that provides a set of keywords-related web services to empower, of course, ourselves at the center and Windows Live and third-party developers to build next generation of applications. So it is a platform, everything is web service-based, and people can throw API using API to call it. You can use the UI. We're going to demo you some of the query tool built in. But mainly, developers can really leverage all these fundamental research from our lab and build applications on top of that. So before I go deep, first I'll give you some basic concept or groceries of keyword services platform KSP. The first concept is called interface. So for those of you who knows COM or C# or Java, interface is an interface with a set of methods, right? So we define a set of interface. For example, term suggestion. So each interface define those maybe 5 to 10 methods related to term suggestion. And providers or algorithms can implement those interfaces. So that's the second concept called provider. A provider can think about it as an algorithm. It implements one or multiple interfaces. Most likely, usually, it's just one interface for term suggestion, let's say, or for term forecast. And it implements all the methods defined in this interface. Developers can call this provider, can query what other providers implement a given interface. So we have all those metadata navigation schema discovery features. Store procedure. Store procedure is not a database store procedure, it's a KSP store procedure. So developers can write code, C# code, or NA of the 37.NET language code. Based on KSP object model, and it can combine different algorithms, the output of one algorithm used as input of the second algorithm. For example, you can use the output of the keywords recommendation and input to the keywords forecast. So you get a table or data table of those recommended keywords as well as their traffic forecast in the future. And that's really powerful. So we have those store procedures. We have system-defined store procedures. So those procedures we think is very useful, very common to the vast majority of developers. We also have abilities for a third party to write store procedures and host it here. And we have a cloud server. Cloud server, as name stand, is remote, distributed, far away, and it's a server platform. So you can see in the bitmap, it's a cloud server of 4 machines. And we host all the servers at the background, at backend inside Microsoft. And we provide, you know, developers can query providers, and providers can be distributed among different servers. So what will KSP bring to developers? Actually, it will speed up research to development and to market. So enable EdCenter or Microsoft researchers or other company researchers or university academic researchers to focus on the keywords algorithms development. And enable developers to benefit from those technologies right away through the web service. And it will simplify application developers' coding effort with innovative API. So we're going to show you the API, how simple it is, and how convenient for you guys to consume. And generate lots of new possibilities, allow combinations of different technologies in the same platform, enable A-B testing. So let's say you have two different term suggestion algorithm, and you want to know which one gives best return of investment, you know, in terms of the campaign management. So you can use, you know, two providers, call them, we provide some functions to distribute your traffic to those two providers, and help you to analyze the effectiveness of different algorithms. And brings many more benefit to researchers, developers, and customers. So the high-level architecture of KSP. So first, KSP is running on a cloud server. And we have a set of shared service, like WordStammer, Crawler, all those things can be shared by different algorithm providers. Then we have a container with different providers. So each provider is an algorithm. We have a server-side object model. And we have stored procedure to combine. So you can write stored procedures and combine different outputs. And the stored procedures are hosted and run inside KSP. And it can be run on different machines as well. We have service container. On top, we have securities and a set of API. And we do have a management tool, but that's for the system managers inside Microsoft to manage the traffic load balancing, provider deployments. And we do have libraries for developers. So developers can either use pure Windows Communication Foundation WCF code without any footprint on the client side, goes to the web service directly, or you can install ksp.net, which you know, very simple, you can use the object model in C# to call the server. A couple of lines, which will show you how easy it is in coding. And on top of KSP, there will be lots of applications, like, as I said, Windows Live, Office Live, EdCenter. And we're going to start to have third-party applications. We do have third parties already starting to have a jump start developing applications on top of KSP. And we have SEM, search engine marketers. Those companies are really waiting for the feed. And if you look at the deployment architecture, KSP, you know, lots of intelligence comes from data. So we do have a live data warehouse or data mart. The data comes from EdCenter data. Every query people searched, we logged it. We used for to mining purpose. Data comes from the search log. And also use the whole World Wide Web as a training data set to find, dig inside. There are lots of information inside this gigantic network. And we do have researchers full-time analyzing the whole web and build models, which you can consume through API. We have a cloud server here, and which goes through WCF channel, web service. Power lots of applications. So the interface, we define a set of so-called standards, Microsoft standard or industry standard interface. We are working with different partners to make it really a big endorsement from different players in this market. So interface like item forecast, item suggestion, item monetization, as name suggests, item monetization gives the dollar value of each keywords, term demographic, term extraction, classification, so all those commercial intentions, so all those are defined interface, and we define methods, signatures for each interface, right? Get term suggestion, input term, can be a single term, let's say zoom, and return most relevant 10 terms, or it can be a data table, 1,000 terms will return you 10,000 keywords. And everything is, as I said, WCF based. You can communicate slow in HTTP or TCP. So here are some examples. So the first query, get term forecast terms minus 2 to 1. So it gives you, returns your data table, contains four columns, last 2 months, current month, and next month. And what traffic look like, right? Get term forecast, and if you put including statistics, and 2 and including statistics, it gives you the next 2 months. But it not only gives you the predicted value, but also the standard, the mean and standard deviation, right? Mean is the predictable value, and standard deviation is the how confident this prediction about. Get suggest term 3. So input is a data table, and the 3 means for each row, each term I input, give me 3 related terms, most related terms. So for example, BMW returns auto, car, Lexus. Get the next query, get term forecast, terms, and you specify score greater than 0.2, including statistics. What that means is I return all the terms, actually not term forecast, there's a misspelling error, it's get term suggestion. I return all the related terms with confidence greater than 0.2. So there are some suggestions with low confidence, I filter them out. And go to store procedure. So why we need a store procedure? Because we have already internal usage, and people think it's really important for them, developers, to combine the different algorithm results. And if you don't have store procedure on the server side, developer have to call and then get data across the wire and then do some combinations massage on the client side, which is very inefficient both on the client and on the server. So we provide a store procedure, try to really make this smooth. And can be written in any .NET language. Store procedures can be either binary or source files. So you can, in KSP, you can even write in C# directly in the KSP Management Studio or KSP Query Editor, write your program. And we compile and store on server side for you. And it can return a single term scalar value or a table. So here's an example of KSP store procedure. It's very simple. It says it combines suggest term with forecast. So the first query, get term suggestion, it returns a data table, and you put use the data table as the input, and returns the final result of data table. Contains the suggest terms and the starting time and end time. Very simple and clean. So now I'm going to show you some examples on KSP Explorer query tool and some code examples. Okay, Dylan.
Thank you, Zhaowei. Okay, let me go to... Okay, this year... So how many people use SQL Server? Okay, great. So how many people think we come from SQL Server? If you think so, then you're correct. So we're from SQL Server team actually before. We worked for SQL Server for many, many years. So we have very, very strong expertise to build server product. So when we came to here, we saw all those fantastic keyword technologies. So what we decided to do is we decided to build a query analyzer. This is a query analyzer set on top of the platform, the strong platform we call the Keyword Services platform. So here, if you look at the left side, so we have a cloud of the server. So this is the right-hand side, we show the cloud of server. In this cloud, particular cloud, we have 2 servers in this cloud. So here, let's go through a couple of provider examples. So first, let's go to keyword extraction. So suppose I sit in Venetian, right? So I want to tell Venetian, hey, you should build some keywords, or you should build some keywords in AdCenter. So what we do is you go here, you call simple query. This is called keywords extraction, which is our provider. And under the provider, we have all those functions for you to call. And all those blue functions, which is a singleton function. Basically, you can submit one website at a time, right? But we do have a batch mode, so you can submit tons of websites for us to extract all the keywords, meaningful keywords for you. So here, I don't want to try autos. Maybe I try it once. So meanwhile, I think this is first time. Okay, so let's go to something. Okay, so looks like the service.
The connection net. Do you
have? Let's try something else, like
different machine. Yeah.
Yeah. Test 5. So this is going to be the public release we have.
Is this making sense for everyone? Do people see the value in this? I can give you one example of some of the functionality we were just talking about and some of the calls on how we've made use of them. The seasonality and funnel, for example, where we were just displaying some of the samples around that. When we were first taking a look ourselves with an ad center at the commercial viability of the terms, we've realized that there's a significant impact when searchers are looking for certain terms as how commercially viable they are at certain times of the year. It's one of the things you were just touching on. Elmo, for example, Heelys, for example, in June have almost no commercial intent. Come December, they have a significant amount of commercial intent. So if you're trying to monetize these words, it makes a lot of sense to employ some of these.
So here, first is autos.microsoft.com. So we suggest all those keywords, like cars, all those significant keywords you should bid on, or the key terms from that website, right? Let's try Venetian. I want the true basically is include statistics. I want to know how confident the systems think that keywords is related to a server. So here, it's pretty good actually. Venetian web developer actually is pretty good. I want to congratulate them because they have all those related, highly related keywords. For example, like Las Vegas hotels, Las Vegas strips results, right? Those are very, very key terms for the Venetian hotel. So that's one thing. So this is a keyword extraction. Basically, extract all the important keywords from the website. So let's try something called URL categorization. So this one basically is a website, and you want to know what category it belongs. This is a very, very powerful tool to enable many applications. For example, when people, when you want to classify what kind of website for you to target, so what kind of ads you want to show on the website. So here, let's try something like Microsoft. See what Microsoft tells us what category it is. Hey, so did you guys attend yesterday's keynote? So it says Microsoft is a software and service company, right? So we are very, very politically correct in this term. So this is actually we extract the content from Microsoft.com and tell like what kind of category it is, right? So there's another side of the categorization problem. Basically is if people search a query, what category it is. Let's see what the web tell Microsoft belongs to what category. So this is called iTerm categorization. So if you go here, I say get term categorization, I want Microsoft. So this is not actually grab data from Microsoft website. It actually grab all the data related to Microsoft from the all web. So let's see, web says Microsoft belong to what category. Hey, it says Microsoft is a software and a service company. So that's exactly match what web says to us or our website says us. So now, let's go to monetization. So whenever there's a keywords has prices, right? So some keywords might have high prices, and some keywords might have low. So let's see. So here's monetization. This is a very, very rich provider. So it have tons of functions for you to call, and you can give a batch of keywords to know what the price it is, and you can see their CTR and CPCs. So for example, let's do something like this. I want a sample query, so this is a digital camera. Let's see digital camera, how expensive it is. So the digital camera, the CPC, is around 2.9, so it's $2. So if you want to show some ads, you better bid like $2 more, right? So here, you can see the impressions and clicks. So if you are advertising, you can expect like how much money you're going to spend, for example, in a week or in a month. So this is very significant. Also, if you run a website, you want to know like how important your keywords is if you want to show some contextual ads, right? You might want to optimize your website based on those values. So let's see Las Vegas. I bet most of people will bid these keywords, so it must be very expensive. I hope it's, okay, so, yeah, it's $3. Actually, $3 for Las Vegas, that term. That's the price for Las Vegas. And the CTR is not that high. Actually, it's only 0.8%. Okay, so monetization. So I'm sorry, I have to demo the most powerful feature from Windows called the remote desktop.
So one of the things, if you combine, for example, this use of the application with the funnel, with the keyword funnel that we demoed earlier, you can see that digital camera, for example, is a little bit over $2 a click, which is great if you're a publisher. If you're an advertiser and you're trying to extract value, if you can use that keyword funnel extractor to give you additional keywords that are 4-5 keywords long, things that are deeper in the tail, it'll be a lot less expensive for you to bid on those. You can actually get higher click-through rate. If you remember back, you can see that the click-through rate increases as you go deeper into the tail. That's for the really big advertisers. The people who are able to do this programmatically start to see significant returns on these efforts because suddenly they're able to get that same conversion by paying maybe 50 cents for a really obscure digital camera-related term that has a high conversion rate versus bidding the $2.09 and looking for that conversion at digital camera.
So, okay, so that's great. That's UI, right? That's you can call the function from UI, and that's like one term per time, which is not efficient. And actually, you can program it. We do provide one library called ksp.net, and which we hide lots of complexities. For example, like WCF complexities, and we hide all the cloud server things behind the scene, and we give you a library to call our server. So here is the simple query we have. It's a live demo. So here, basically you say, hey, I want to connect to this server. You can use NetTCP, which is very, very efficient compared to HTTP. So here you say, I open a keyword server, and I want the monetization. So here is the monetization provider. I will get my monetization provider. I say, hey, call this function called give me the term KPIs for digital camera. So if I do F10, and you get back a data table. So if you want to see it, then this is all the data tables inside, right? So this process results basically just print out that data table. So if I hit F10, you can see. So here is a digital camera, what's the impression, what's the clicks, and all this stuff. Okay, look, this is only the singleton call, and which is quite, so I know for all the advertisers, you may have like thousands or tens of thousands keywords, right? So we do support batch input. So here, the next few lines is batch demo. So you create a data table. You say, hey, the first column is the term column, and you add the first row, you add the second row. So then you call the same function, but this time, it actually input a data table in. We get a data table in, we process the data, and we get a data table out, right? So this is a web service call through TCP, which is pretty efficient. So let's do the process result. Basically, we'll print out the results. Let me let it go. Okay. So here, you will see we actually return two lines. One is digital camera, the other one is Las Vegas. So this gives you the power to give us like a thousands of keywords, and we give back the results. So third one, I want to try the stop procedures, what we discussed before. This stop procedure is called categorization with entity detection. So what we do is we split the user's query, which is might be very, very long, and we split them into entities. Entities is no breakable entities. For example, Kentucky Fried Chicken. For example, digital camera, we shouldn't break into digital and the camera or Kentucky Fried and Chicken. So this one will give you high, I think, accuracy in terms of categorization. So the calling pattern is exactly the same. The only difference is instead of you call get providers, we call get stop procedures. The stop procedure is running on the server side. You don't have to come back and forth. So here, this one called two providers. One is called entity detection, detect all the entities from your query, and then do the categorization. So here, you get the stop procedure proxy, and you call the query, Microsoft MP3 player Zoom offer, right? So you say score greater than 0.3, and it will call the stop procedure and give you the results. So F10. So it will give you what kind of categories of the whole long, this long query belongs to. So with that, I will turn to Zhao Hui.
Thank you. So I'm going to talk about KSP applications. So KSP internally we released 1.0 back in January for Microsoft internal usage, mainly AdCenter customer service group. So today in AdCenter customer service group called CSO, SMO, Search Medium Organization, we have 100 people, over 100 people using it on a daily basis. So it's really a proven, it's a mission critical application server. And inside Microsoft, we have also other groups beyond, you know, paid search advertising, like Windows Live, Office Live. So those groups starting to use KSP for starting building applications based on KSP for various purposes. MSN Shopping also use KSP for term classification. Giving a term, as I described, giving a term, people input it on the website. They want to know which category it belongs to. And we're talking about, you know, hundreds of thousands of queries a day for that particular application. And there are we start to roll out private beta this month by invitation only. And we do have third parties starting building applications on top of KSP for bid management and for campaign management. You can also build applications for text mining, text analytics, web analytics. So lots of applications you can leverage from KSP. You know, as I said, today the word is mashup word. Mashup is beyond on Google Map, right? You can really consume various web services across the continent. We also are talking about, we're thinking this keyword service API, the one you just seen, has lots of values to our audience. And we're working with different players, major players, to think about how to standardize it and make it a more democratic word. You know, may have different consumers and also different providers. People can do best and breed. You know, you can select algorithm term monetization from Microsoft and maybe select term classification from a university or a different website. So we see lots of applications, and it's really a good opportunity for you guys to start thinking about and build applications on top of KSP. And our last demo is application which we built as an example. So we're going to show you the sample code later on called Ad Research Dashboard. So it's a dashboard built on top of Windows Live gadgets, and we're going to show you the first time we show it in public. So Dylan.
It's been really popular internally.
Yes.
So this is one developer who developed all those live gadgets. Many different.
This actually is my homepage.
Yeah, this is.
I'm actually from China. General is basically U.S. news. I come from China. I lived many years in France, and then I'm doing advertising. So I have three tab, and advertising ones are the ones we're gonna release later on. You know,
yeah.
As sample code.
So this is a dashboard we built solely on top of KSP. So Let me just give the demo. So let's type in Las Vegas Hotel. You want to know everything about Las Vegas Hotel, right? So let's do go. Then it will try to query all the KSP providers. Then we, so first we have keyword suggestion providers. So you have Las Vegas Hotel, what you should bid, like MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas, MGM Grand Hotel, and all those hotels, right? So then here's a price estimation. So how? So if you want to bid position one, you better pay about $4. And the, if it's a position two, what kind of price it is. For these keywords, all the positions, what the price is going to be. And then term categorization, we have term categorization provider. So you can see this one belongs to travel destinations, travel lodging, and all those categories. And here, this is an interesting graph. It's called CTR position. So it's connection. It's called click-through rate by position. So if you are familiar with advertiser world, it's basically how many percentage people see this ad actually click on that ad. So you can see clearly after position three, which we put into the sidebar of the search results, the click-through rate just dropped significantly. And the fourth one is CPC position, basically based on the position, what kind of price it is, right? So interestingly, position five actually have a little bit higher price. It's because position five's conversion CTR rate is actually very, very low. So the average price might be higher. So this is forecast impressions. So you want to know what's the past month's the impressions for this term. And we actually give the forecast for next 3 months, what the impression going to be for that keyword. Basically, how many people will query Las Vegas in next 3 months, Las Vegas hotels in next 3 months. So that's Las Vegas Hotel. Let's do something else. Oh, boring. Show. Okay, Las Vegas shows. So here we actually give different suggestions, like Celine Dion tickets, right? So the keyword suggestion is based on what keywords you have. And then it's still the price. Las Vegas shows price actually is much lower than Las Vegas hotel. So this is pretty cool application. Think about you can build anything with that function call in your website. You can build those things. You can build those virtualizations actually cooler than us. And you all attend Silverlight. Probably you can do some Silverlight version of KSP. Yeah, that's it. Okay.
So actually, we do have some time left for Q&A. Since we don't have a big audience, I think we can probably make it longer for Q&A. So any questions? Yeah. You mean the main line versus sidebar?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Position one starts at the top, and then it drops down over to the side rail. So you'd have position one, two, and then it would drop over to three, four, or five.
On the 3, 4, 5.
Correct. 3, 4, 5 are on the side rail.
Okay. So what about if you're doing
bottom rail? Well, we don't typically do bottom rail. We have made this so platform agnostic, so you can try and apply it against other platforms. In that case, you would assume the bottom rail to be the lowest possible positions. One other thing to bear in mind is that even within our own search platform, we occasionally don't have top rail ads, and so in that case, the first position would be on the right rail. So you can go ahead and just assume that's a position number relative to where they are, and the bottom rail typically maps under the right rail. Correct, typically. In terms of when most platforms are setting up their ads, the most valuable real estate is the position one, position two, and then position three, four, and five will typically be down along the right rail. If there's a position six and seven, that will drop to the bottom rail. Occasionally, however, search engines play around with where those positions lie. So occasionally, position one and two may be at the top rail, three and four may be at the bottom rail, because those actually have higher conversion rates typically than the right rail, and then position five, six, and seven will be over on the right rail. It depends on the keyword and it depends on the platform.
Okay,
yeah.
Next question. Could you use the microphone there? So people.
When will it be live, and when we can get when can we get access to it?
You know? Okay, so this is live today, and we are still in the that's internal live. We're gonna make it external available this month, actually next 2 weeks, and that's actually in the beta program, a private beta program. So if you want to subscribe, please let us know.
You should put your address.
Okay, you can send me an email.
We voted this morning. Xiaowei gets to put his email address up. So if you want access, email Xiaowei.
Excellent stuff. Another question would be based around your context-sensitive serving of ads. There's some solution supposedly in the works. Yeah, and it relates to keywords in terms of delivering ads onto a page. And you know, the other half of Microsoft Ad Center in terms of just literally serving like Google AdSense ads on a page. And when would something like that be available from Microsoft?
We had a little bit of feedback. Would you mind just restating the question?
Sure.
Thanks.
So essentially, when will Microsoft come out with a context-sensitive ad serving system like AdSense?
Mm-hmm. When Microsoft come up with AdSense?
So contextual.
Yes.
We are testing it right now. It's open to, I think Shai knows, but we have several thousand customers right now in the beta. And I'm absolutely not supposed to give dates.
Sure.
PMs hate when I do this. Soon.
Soon, okay.
So the answer would be soon.
So what would be the process to get access, early access to that program?
I can give you my email address at the end, so come on up and grab me.
I'll give you
my email address and I'll set you up.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And there's a small enough number of people in the room that we can go ahead and offer that out. So anybody else who wants to take advantage, come on up afterward.
Hello. I don't know so much Microsoft at this center, so maybe stupid question, but are you going to build something like Google Domains, a direct domain monetization program, something that from the input show the related advertisings and monetize without have a developed site? Do you understand?
Could you explain again?
You know, Google Domains,
mm-hmm.
that is a platform that automatically select the advertising for an internet domain.
Mm-hmm.
So have a parked domain, and in a automatic way, you can monetize from this domain. It's something
mm-hmm.
that is doing also Cedo.com and other companies. So I want to know from you if you are going to build something similar in the next month. Or?
Well, I can tell you we're not going to do it in the next month.
Okay.
This is something we talk about a lot internally, and how we're handling the whole issues around parked domains and how we want, what is the appropriate way to work with people, because there are instances in which those provide very valuable services to search customers. But there are many cases in which that can be a very irritating, frankly, experience for search customers. And we're not entirely sure how we're going to handle that. So that's still something we're thinking about internally. At the moment, we don't have any plans to release any tools to make it easier for that to occur.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Can you give some information about if you can have this analysis just per country base or just per language base? Let's assume we want to have in French ads mm-hmm. and just for Switzerland and France.
That's a very good question, actually. We got this question internally as well. Since we have different geographic locations, we have custom teams in France ask us some of the customized algorithm. We do have a few models support you know, UK, France, but most of them are English only, US only. And we are thinking the API actually is fairly simple. You can add locale there, or you can specify you know, geographic dimensions. So we definitely will have cross-country solutions. And I think France is one in the first tier list, yeah. Other question?
Oh, it's Mike.
Hi. I'm actually with Microsoft, and I wanted to thank Aaron, Dylan, and Xiaowei for doing a great job presenting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My question is actually to all of you, and I'm interested in kind of surveying the audience and understanding what you guys do or who you work for and what you're interested in with the KSP platform. How many of you are with SEM firms here, search engine marketing firms? What about representing your own companies and considering using this KSP platform to manage your own campaigns? Excellent. Anyone that I might have missed in terms of your specific interest?
Are you developing? How many people wandered into the wrong room by accident? Were too polite to leave.
How many are using AdCenter today? Okay. Great. Thank you.
So for those of you who are thinking about developing applications, and you don't necessarily have to go to the mic for this, can you give us some indications of some of the ways in which you're anticipating that you might want to use this? Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Now with KSP, generate keywords within seconds. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of the things that I throw out there as a caution, however, is that we work very hard within AdCenter to keep our APIs free for everyone, well documented and free. And so while in theory it could be used on an hourly basis, that would be fairly expensive for us to support. And we currently have quotas. We can play around with quotas. We give our customers a lot of lead there. But I think we'd prefer, and you guys can chime in here, Shai can chime in, that you weren't necessarily updating on an hourly basis. Thanks.
Yeah, we do have some quota system, and since KSP now is the beta release, so we're still testing it. We don't know what the default quota should be, so we set 1,000 calls per day, and maybe we can increase, maybe we can decrease. And Shai owns the AdCenter API, so he can give you more details about AdCenter, today's AdCenter API quota system. Yeah. Is there any quota? So what were some, I saw there's some other hands. I know you had your hand up. What are some of the things you're thinking about using KSP for? Right there, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Essentially, I was thinking of using it to help improve upon searches within sites and to help collate some of the information about how words are joined together and some of the APIs that you're providing there, helping to improve how information is then displayed to users as their search results come in. So as the content of the pages within several sites, taking that information, joining the words together using some of your APIs there, to allow when someone comes along and actually uses the search on our site to actually be able to pull up something that's more relevant, which makes more sense, pulling upon the great vast array of information that you've already collected, to instead of doing that ourselves.
That'll be interesting.
Would you have actually an internal team build a prototype that's still developing is using KSP, together with a search API. So when you have search, query, it expands first, then send the result to the search, get result back, then use KSP term classification
classify the result in a hierarchical way.
Yes.
Yeah, that's actually a nice mashup. I don't know whether they finished. They're working with a few months ago with us, and I don't know. They're supposed to demo it in mashup booth today. Yeah.
Anything else we can help you out with this morning? Any additional questions, or should we go ahead and we can take questions individually if any of you would like to join in with us?
Okay.
Well, thank you very much for coming in this morning. Much.